Okay, good morning, everyone. Chalagit Eden. We're about to begin. It's the morning. It's already afternoon. I'm still in the morning. We're holding in Parshas Chayesara as we're learning the Torah and finding the Mashiach light in every Pasuk. So last week we learned a fascinating inyan in the meaning of Avram Avinu marrying this woman. Her name is Keturah, which is Hagar, and she had a bunch of sons, Zimron, Yokshan, Medon, Midyon, Yishbok, Shuach. Then it gives us a bunch of children, Enoklach. Gee, what a beautiful family Avram has over here. Imagine Avram in his tent, he had family pictures. He had Yokshan there, and it's like a van, there was a chevre here. In any case, so we're gonna come visit Avram Avinu after Mashiach is going to come in his house, Avram and Sarah. So Sarah is going to ask, Vezen al adiyadus. And Avram is going to show, this is Yokshan, Bitzana, Einaklich. And Azay, I wonder, this is Yah. I hope these people are very nice people. I don't know. You know, we're looking about the Einaklich from Yitzchak and from Yaakov and from Esav. From Yaakov, it's recorded. Then Yaakov and from Esav. I'm sorry, from Yaakov, the Enoklach, one thing, but we also have these Enoklach over here. But last week we discussed the greatness of this idea. Last week we discussed that this is, first of all, it fits very geschmack, and we're, the whole story, we're learning how the lives of the forefathers is like already the lives of the future. Once Yitzchak and Rivka get married, we're already mamish in Yemoisa Mashiach already. It's already, Rivka's elevated, the Shechina is elevated. We revealed already the pleasure of the world to come, of Yitzchak. This is going back to what the last 105 classes that we've given, that we built this idea up. So don't ask me not to repeat it. But this is the point already where we're holding already by that time. So now we're learning about how Avram Avinu is having an influence on the nations. When Avram Avinu went and married Keturah, and he had a bunch of other children. Last week we spoke. The miracle, this is an unbelievable miracle. He's 140 years old and he's having children. So we spoke that this was all an extension of the birth of Yitzchak. The reason why the Torah doesn't make a big deal that this is a big miracle is because this miracle is a chelik of the miracle of Yitzchak's birth. Just like Sarah, when she gave birth to Yitzchak, the miracle of Sarah became the miracle of the whole world as well, because Rashi says many women gave birth then as well, who couldn't have children all along. And Sarah Imenu herself nursed many children. All the children brought them. Why? Because you can't separate, as much as we Jews have always lived with this inyan that, you know, we Jews are very special, which is taka true. But our specialness is supposed to be a specialness that brings along the rest of humanity. So even though we suffered Tzaras Tzaruras, and we're holding by the time of Tisha B'Av and destructions of the Beis Hamikdash and Golos and Holocausts and all this that we've gone through, Taka Emes, but through this we make L'Sakin Oilam B'Malchus Shakai. We're misakin the entire world. So after Mashiach comes, Yidden are going to have a tremendous influence on all that. We have influence now, but now it's a kind of subconscious influence in a way that it's not really noticeable on the top. But when Mashiach comes, the holchu goyim rabim la'oirech, many nations will go to your light. And all the nations of the world will come to Eretz Yisrael, to Mashiach, to study Torah. We're going to influence all the nations of the world to keep Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and to live a very, very refined and elevated life and go higher and higher and higher in Yediyas Hashem and knowing of Hashem. So we're taking everybody along. And that's what we spoke last week, is the inyan that Avram Avinu goes and he contributes literally families and nations. Avram marries Keturah and he has a bunch of children and he contributes, right? Avram gets married and he has a bunch of children. These are Gentiles. But the idea behind it is Avram's influence on the nations. Av Amoin Goyim. And this is all part of we as the Jewish people being born comes along with that effect. But it makes sense that all this the Torah is telling to us now, because this is after Yitzchak and Rivka get married, which is related to the idea already of Bias HaMashiach. Yitzchak is the future laughter. And then we see the pa'ula, the effects of the Jews over the Gentile nations. Like it says about Mashiach, that Mashiach is going to make Yisakin Oilam Kulay. Mashiach is going to fix the entire world to serve the Eibishter. I told a very beautiful story on Shabbos. I'm going to repeat it again because it's such a beautiful, some people maybe who listening to the shiur have heard the story, but there's something very deep in this story. Rabbi Astulin told me the other day that he was on a plane. And everybody knows Rabbi Astulin is a very happy person. And when you see him, I always wondered like how he behaves on a plane. Because everybody on that plane can't run anywhere. They're all there. So he's dancing and giving out dollars and candies and whatever else he's doing. Anyways, he's on a plane, and next to him sat down a priest. And as the priest is sitting next to him, the priest starts talking to him. He's a Russian Jew. It's perfect. He can inspire a Russian Jew about Catholicism. Fine. So he starts talking to him about the elevated state of a priest. My daughter's heard the story, but okay. About the elevated state, but maybe the beer on the story they didn't hear. So he's speaking to them about the elevated state of the priest. And then he says, but on top of a priest, there's a cardinal. And on top of the cardinal, there's a bishop. And he's explaining to them how holy the priest is. You know, he's not living with a woman. And you should imagine who the cardinal is. Could you imagine who the whatever? In the Nuchtam is, you know, the Pope himself. And he's talking about all this. Fine. So Rabbi Astulin turns to him and he asks him, I want to ask you one question. Tell me, what's the first mitzvah in the Torah? The first commandment. He says, 10 commandments, he starts telling him. He says, no, that's not the first commandment. He's thinking. He says, the first commandment in the Torah is to produce. Right? He says, to have children. That's the first commandment. And then this is the part I missed. I didn't say on Shabbos. He explained a very, 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 very powerful point. We speak about 7 Noahid laws. Seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the 7 Noahid laws. And we sometimes say, so what are they? There are 7. It's hard to explain it sometimes to a Gentile. It's our mitzvah to explain. What? It's not 7. There's one point. One point, and that's everything. The one point is there is a boss. There is Hashem. And we're all his workers. The 8 billion people in the family, in the planet, the 8 billion human beings living on the planet are all here to serve the boss. Everybody. Okay. If they're all here to serve the boss, then they have to be productive, as productive things. So now we can understand, for instance, the Torah, one of the commandments is don't steal. Don't steal. So what does it mean, don't steal? Why not stealing? It's not just a morality. You're being a good person by not stealing. If this is a boss and this is his company, then everybody who has, you know, if there's a policeman walking around with handcuffs or a club, and I'm going and stealing the policeman's police car. A few weeks ago, there were a couple of kids from the police academy in Los Angeles who stole 6 police cars from the police place. That's not just an offense of theft. That's you're not allowing the policeman, the government, to do its job. The policeman needs his club, needs his handcuff. Every human being, whatever God has given him, his talents, his body, his or her money, resources, wealth, everything they have is created for one purpose, to serve our Creator. If I'm taking something away from someone else, I'm causing a complete, I'm causing the cosmos to move out of shape. I'm causing the entire business, the entire company to be off, because everybody has his or her responsibility. If I take someone's life, I'm murdering one of the servants of the king. I'm denying the boss. I'm denying the boss if I take one penny from someone else. Animals are here for a purpose. But to serve us, yeah. Animals are used to help us with transportation, some animals. Other animals are used to serve as food. All this. But to go and hurt an animal for no purpose at all, just to cause pain, it's against the boss. So if you go through, and the fact that you have to have government, you go through every one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the root of those mitzvahs are, also, you have to get married with one wife, get married, and stick to your partner. In other words, build, in order for, since you're going to build the next generation of servants, the home has to be a decent home, which is productive for children to grow up. So basically, all the 7 Noahid laws is one point. When you take a look at life, not as mine or yours, There is a creator and a boss, and everything is part of that. Now, every boss wants his business or his company or his enterprise to grow and be productive. So what's the first commandment to the first human being? Pru urvu, have children. Be productive. You have to produce. So Rabbi Yastulin says to the priest, tell me, what did you produce? What did your cardinal produce? And what, tell me, you're telling me the Pope is the highest human being? He didn't produce anything. He didn't give children. The first thing, any little family of, people living in Africa, or living in Mexico, or living anywhere, might be, simple people. They have children. They gave the boss servants. They gave him people in the world. People this. He didn't produce. Taitse garnished. Mamish, tait, he said he was quiet. He didn't hear another word, a peep from him the rest of the flight. In any case, the idea is we, the Jewish people, have to influence the rest of humanity to recognize there is a boss, there's a truth. And that's what we spoke last week, is Vayosef Avram, and he took a woman, and her name was Keturah, and he gave birth to these children. Is referring to the idea of Jews' influence on the nations. There's a Sefer Bris Avram, from one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, I think, not directly Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, I think second generation. His name is, give me a second, which I thought was a very gishmaki inyan, of Vayosef Avram Vayikach Isha. The Zohar refers to Avram, as we're going to, this is the main discussion today. The Zohar refers to Avram and Sarah. Avram is the neshama, and Sarah is the guf. So male and female is always neshama and guf, because male and female is oyer and keli, light and vessel. So neshama and guf is light and vessel. So I just want to give you the name of who this was, the Bris Avram, because I looked him up earlier. His name is Rabbi Yosef of Zbarov. So again, I have to check him up, but I think he's from one of the Talmidim of the Magid, or maybe, I'm not sure. But in any case, he explains the idea that Avram takes Vayosef Avram. Vayosef Avram is referring to the ultimate Hoysafa that's going to be to the Neshama. The Neshama comes down from Gan Eden. The Neshama comes down into a body. It lives over here. As matertzich, it goes through difficulties and hardships for so many years. It's not an easy life down here on earth. The Gemara says, "Noyach leilo adam." It would have been better for the neshama. Shaloi nivra nishke. Wouldn't be created in a body. Felt chayset tzaris. Doesn't need any tzaris. He was happy in Gan Eden. Comes down into this world. It's so you have to say that there must be profit. The neshama comes down into the world. This must be a profitable business. What's the profit? The profit is that when the neshama can make the body shine with the same light like the neshama. Now the body is animalistic. The body is earthy. The body is dense. The body doesn't know. The neshama craves for spirituality. The body craves for physical satisfaction. That's the body and the nefesh ha-bahamas and the animalistic soul that we have in a body. We know that the b'tchias ha-mesim, body and soul will shine equally. Not only that, the body's entire aspirations is going to be ziv ha-shchina, to receive the radiance of God. That's going to be our bodies. Not only that, when a body becomes like a soul, the body is higher than the soul. That's already a whole discussion, not for now, but the body exceeds and accelerates beyond the soul, and the body now contributes to the neshama, because the neshama, now he doesn't say those words, but he says the neshama gains by making the behema into an elevated. He says like this, umoysara adam. And an advantage to Adam, Adam is the neshama, it's called Adam ala Elyon. Umoysar ha-Adam. And the advantage to the neshama, min ha-behema, comes from when the neshama elevates the behema, which is the body, to what? To ayin, to nothingness, because the body is yesh, the body is full of himself, full of his own, he's stuck up in his own ego and own of self. And when you can take the body and turn the body inside out to be bottled to the Eibishter, Umoysara Adam, that's an advantage to Adam. So now it's saying like this, Vayosef Avram, how is Avram Avinu going to have a Hisafa? Avram, which is the Neshama, how does Avram, Vayikach Isha, he takes the body, that's after Tchias HaMesim. Okay, Avram and Sarah is Avram and the body now. That's Avram and Sarah now. When Avram takes another wife in a manner of remez, even though Apipashtis, the second wife he's taking is much lower. He's remarrying Hagar. So she's much lower than it was before. But Bepinimius in Yonim, Vayikach Isha, he takes a woman. This is Avram taking the body. And this time, Ushma, her name, Keturah, means Keturis. She's a fragrance to Hashem. The biggest, most pleasant, the most pleasant carbon that there is, that is Ma'orer, that awakens the deepest love from the Eibishter to the Jewish people, the deepest love is Ketores. Ketores is the highest avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Like we know in Yom Kippur, what was the moment of the biggest nachas ruach that Hashem has? The greatest delight is when the Kohen Gadol goes in and he offers Ketores. You see, when he comes in a second time, he's sprinkling blood. That's ready for us. He's asking kapara, forgiveness. The Ketores was just to be mo'oirer, the nachas ruach, like Noach when he comes out of the teva, he offered karbanos. Within karbanos, the highest, most precious carbon, highest and most precious carbon from all karbanos, is ketores. But here's the inyan. After tchias ha-mesim, the body hera ma'isa, the body is going to be ketores. Ushma keturah. That means she is going to be completely refined, elevated, and pure. This is similar to what we learned earlier a few weeks ago, that the Yetzahara too has two stages. In the time of until Mashiach comes, the Yetzahara, the Zohar says, is called Loit. Loit means a curse. And that's why we taka see that when Avram Avinu left, Avram is the Neshama. Then Avram Avinu left on his whole entire journey, Vayelech Itay, who comes along with all of our spiritual journeys. In other words, he's holding on. And wherever we go, there is always a light coming along with us. But the Zohar says that even though the Satan, the Yetzirah, today's days is called light, after Mashiach comes, he has a new name. He's called Lavan. And Lavan means whiteness, even though Lavan is a wicked person in the story. But Lavan is whiteness, referring to the new Yetzirah after Mashiach comes. Why is he called Lavan? The Zohar says you need to have Yetzirah after Mashiach comes as well. But the evil of the Yetzirah will go away, but there needs to be Yetzirah, which means there needs to be some kind of a physical desire, or else we said before, we wouldn't produce. So there needs to be, the Yetzirah is needed so that people will have children and procreate and so on and so forth. But over there, it won't chas v'shalom go out of its... The problem with Yetzirah is that is when it's not focused in the right place, like fleet nala in all directions. But if the Yetzirah is in the way that he's supposed to be, in its pure state, then it's called lavan. Similar to that, the new woman after Mashiach comes, Ushma, and her name is going to be, which is the name of the body, Ushma Keturah, Shenoim Maseho Kiketiris. That's what Rashi says. Why was Hagar called Keturah? Because her actions were as beautiful as Keturah. Says that about Hagar. And that is the new body after Mashiach comes. So pulling off on this idea that this pasuk of Vayosef Avram taking a wife is called the body after Tchias HaMesim looks like the source of that sefer, Bris Avram, is from Zohar. The Zohar on these psukim, fascinating, describes this whole inyan of Avram marrying Keturah, referring to a reference to Tchias HaMesim and the unification of body and soul after Tchias HaMesim. And over here, this I'm saying to one of my daughters over here, that last time when she came, she also heard me read a Zohar. She got a pair of those lines to my whole Zohar over here. But that's where we're holding today. We're going to learn the Zohar. Your sister. Vayosef Avram, vayikach isha shmoi Keturah. And she took a wife, and her name is Keturah. Omar Pirusha Dahai Psukah. The pirush of these psukim, kamoy de gala chavrana mara masnisam, like it was revealed from the Mishnah. I'm going to be mizvade. If I would have prepared this year for 2 hours, I would be able to give you the Zohar in a nutshell, bal peh. But because I only got to prepare it 20 minutes before the year, so the Zohar is not yet in my head, I'm going to have to learn it together with you. So it says in the Zohar that the pirush, as it was revealed, of this pasuk, of a Yosef, the kadosh masa yese bahu gufa kadisha de law, when the neshama is going to come in its holy body, amazing Zohar. These words of Vayosef Avram, and he takes a woman, and her name is Keturah, is referring to how the neshama is going to deal with wicked people who were wicked during their lifetime. In other words, Keturah is referring to, because in the simple story, Avram is marrying who? He's marrying Hagar again, after he married the tzaddikah Sarah. He's marrying Hagar. And what kind of a family does he have over here? I said earlier, Yokshan. I don't have to say anything more. He marries Yokshan and he has children, Yokshan with Madonna and everything. These were not tzaddikim. Whoever they were, the people of the far, I don't know exactly who they turned out to be, but they're not tzaddikim. So, the Zohar therefore is interpreting that this Haysafa of Avram taking Keturah is referring to the neshama is coming back down for heaven, re-engaging a body. Now, there are bodies that were tzaddikim in this world. Tchias HaMeisim, Amachaya, they did Torah mitzvahs and everything. They deserve to live in Tchias HaMeisim. Now, Vayosef, this pasuk is referring to the wicked. Why? The Yakumin v'yichshirin of the Adayim. The wicked will also be resurrected. They will also be resurrected. And that's the nuah and what? But their deeds will be, in other words, here's the question. The Zohar is dealing with the question, is it possible to have tshuva after Tchias HaMeisim? Is it possible to have a turnaround after Tchias HaMeisim? Or once it's done, it's done. This is the time of action. Then whatever it is, it is. If you need mitzvah HaMeisim toivim for Tchias HaMeisim, if the body doesn't have zchusim, the body did not do a mitzvah, so how is it going to deal with Tchias HaMeisim? The Yitla Mizuva Yukara Delahain. Here's the thing. The Zohar says that Mitzad Avram is chesed and kindness. Mitzad Avram Avinu, there is going to be a hamshacha, a flow, an illumination to these bodies of the wicked. The Yindu'un, they should come to knowledge. They should finally be enlightened. The Yituvan, and they should do tshuva. So in other words, the fact that someone died and he was not the way he should be does not really mean that it's over. The yiskun zchus shleimasa, and then he's going to be zoicha to have a complete zchus. The kat chomesh alado have a saga. Okay, ubechein, and when Shleima saw this, Shleima Melech had this vision that even wicked are going to get up, and Shleima Melech was wondering, and he said in Kehelas as a pasuk, ubechein ra'isi rishoyim kavurim. I saw people buried wicked. That means they died wicked. And they were during their time when they were in the cave, they were wicked. Ubo, when they came, and from a holy place they start. Notice, Tchias HaMeisim is a light coming down from a very holy place. And they're gonna be again, they're gonna go, Yahalechun. They're gonna live, they're gonna come back to life and walk from a holy place. So Shlomo HaMelech is wondering, Gevald, how does that happen? Sheyavoyu v'yichyu memakim kaddish. It's a chiddush nifla. This Zohar that I learned over here today is an unbelievable novel idea. That vayosev Avram shmoy keturah is that a marriage, the Avram, and that giving these people that were wicked a second chance after Tchias HaMeisim. Well, we're soon going to see a lashon in Zohar. This is very bekitzer. Here it's very bekitzer. Soon I'm going to read a longer passage, which over there, it seems to say that the way it's going to work is as follows. They are going to I'm not going to read that Zohar inside. I'm just going to explain it. It seems from the Zohar a very interesting idea that just like the Meisei Chutz Liaretz, it says that those that are buried in Eretz Yisrael are going to get up immediately. Tchias HaMeisim, and get up. Those that are buried in Chutz Liaretz, Hashem is not going to give them the neshama until they come back to Eretz Yisrael. But how are they going to get back? How are the bodies going to get? So we know there's an inyan of rolling. But who's going to roll them? They have to roll themselves. In order for them to roll themselves, they have to have a little bit of life. So it says that they're going to get some type of chayos, some type of life, in order for them to roll, whatever that rolling means. In order for them to be megalgal, to come, they're going to get some kind of a minuscule chayos. That's why it says Yaakov Avinu didn't want to be Mitzrayim, because that roll is a painful roll. But if you're dead completely, it doesn't hurt. The chatoit. So that means there's going to be a kistah, some kind of a chayah, some kind of a life is going to be in their bodies. And then through that, they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael is where they're going to receive their full nefesh. Why? Because the Eibishter does not want to give back the neshama for eternal life in an unholy place. In the reshus of the Sitra Achra, of the other side. Dafkan Eretz Yisrael, which is in a place of holiness, so the neshama is going to live on forever and ever in the body. Fine. So the Zohar says, hear this, just like in regards to the Meisei Chutz Liaretz, we see that Tchiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead, is coming in stages. What's the stages? First, they receive minimal life, and that enables them to bring themselves to a place where their full neshama can come into them in Eretz Yisrael. So to regards to the wicked, Rabbi Yitzchak says, unbelievable, this is what it says over here, similar to what it's saying over here, is that those bodies that were not zoichet tchias ha-meisim because of their merit are going to be given a partial energy and a partial life so that they will be able to be given a chance. And if after tchias ha-meisim they're going to take that chance and devote themselves to Torah and mitzvahs, then they're going to merit for the full tchia, for the full resurrection. If chas v'shalom, the Zohar says, they're going to waste that chance after tchias ha-meisim as well, then those neshamas are going to become dust. Those bodies are going to become dust tachas kapis ha-tzadikim, under the feet of the tzadikim. Let me read that little passage. Omer Reb Yitzchak says, this is from another Zohar. Here the Zohar. Zomin kad kuchibrichu la'arka alayu. The Eibishter is going to put upon them, al inun gufin, on these bodies, ruchin achrin, a new ruach, the izakon behind yakumen. If they will be zoiche with this ruach to do the right thing, they will get up alma in the world, kidikuyaz, the way they're supposed to. If not, they're going to become dust, tachas raglei and the tzaddikim, under the feet of the tzaddikim. Wow. So it's a very interesting idea that after tchias ha-meisim, there is some kind of another chance given. Now, I've never saw that before. I've never heard about that before. Especially based on a dialogue that I'm going to mention to you soon, something that the Rebbe speaks about tchias ha-meisim. We're going to get to that in a minute. Yidden. Tanin, it says, Omer Abama, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. This idea that Shlomo HaMelech was wondering, Shlomo HaMelech didn't understand this. He was wondering how this can be. He brings a pasuk. It says, Hayahapich kushi oiroi. Can a black person change his skin to white? V'nomar chabir boisav. Can a leopard get rid of his spots? Can't. Kacha rishoyim shaloi zachu losho ba'olam hazeh. Rishoyim that were not zoiche to do tshuva. Ulahakter maisim toivim. And they were not able to bring Ketores to the Eibishter while they're alive. La'olam lo yaktiru ba'olam haba. They will not be able to give an olam haba. Re'ei maksiv, va'yosef avram, va'yikach isha. What does that mean? Sheroitza lasis nehem neshama l'gufa malakarvam b'tshuva. In other words, I'll be pashtis. The rules, the way God has set it up, is if you did Ketores when you're alive, meaning you did mitzvahs when you're alive, is good. If you missed the boat, you missed the boat. Now it's too late. Avram Avinu, however, wants to give a second chance. After. And that's the Vayosef Isha Ushma Keturah, to give her a chance to give now Keturah. And it seems like from the Zohar later that that's possible. Rebbe Lazar, however, goes on and seems to argue on that and doesn't accept that. But that seems to be the passage over here. Now, in the Zohar regarding Tetchias HaMeisim, which is, again, all spoken about this, about the new body. I'm not going to go through the whole Zohar. But Reb Cheskia asks a question. Omer Reb Cheskia, I want to share with you another passage with regards to Tchias HaMeis. Itema, if you say, the whole goof in the alma yukumin, that all the bodies in the world are going to get up, the yis'arin ma'afra, and they're going to come up from the ground, inun goofin the isneti'u b'nishmasa chada. These bodies that have one neshama, we all know the concept of a Gilgal. that a neshama comes down in many gulgulim. So these bodies that are all bodies from one neshama, what is going to happen with these bodies? How can they all? Which body is going to get up? My tahemanayo. What's going to happen with that neshama? Omer Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi answers an answer that we as Chabadniks are not used to hearing. We have an answer. We'll soon see the Rebbe's talk about it. Rabbi Yosi answers, in and guf in the loy zachu v'loy atzlichu. Those bodies, and the neshama comes down in many gulgulim because the neshama has to do its tikkun. So if in certain bodies it failed, the person did not do what he needed to do because he failed, so those bodies, taka, will be discarded. Those bodies that the person did make a thing, that time that, so it seems like, from the Zohar, it seems like, when a neshama comes down in a gulgul, there's like only one successful life. All the other ones were not. And the question is, it comes around until it gets it right. And all the other ones, just like they were a dry branch in this world, they were a dry branch without Torah mitzvahs in this world. So it will be in then too. Vagufa basra, and finally the final body, the isnetov itzlach, where the person was finally had hatzlacha, then venata shershoi and planted and had what's it called again, roots, kedekoyois yakum, that's the one that's going to get up. And that's the meaning of which says in Yirmiyahu a pasuk, v'hoya ke'et shasul almayim, that when you have a tree that's planted by water, that means if there is a life, if there is a body, where there is moisture and where there is life, v'hoyo aleo ranon, and then its leaves are fresh. The ovid even v'not teshrashin v'atzlich k'dekayos, and that body will get up. But the other ones v'hoyo ka'aror ba'arava are going to be like a desolate tree in the middle of a wilderness, which is a tree that doesn't give anything. It's just a cactus, burnt out tree without any moisture. And then therefore, garnished. And v'lo yireh will not see ki yavai toiv, when toiv will come. In other words, that body will not get to see ki yavo tov, when tov will come. What's tov? Ki yavai tov dot tchias amesim. The good days are tchias ames. That body will not see it. Okay, fine. That's what the Zohar says. Then Rabbi Yitzchak comes, out of all people, Yitzchak is l'chur adin. Rabbi Yitzchak comes and he wants to give a chance for the neshamas that didn't really make it, that they will be given a chatzi life, kind of, enough that they should be able to do maisim toivim ben. But yet there's still a choice, because you have to say that there's some kind of a bechira still. If they finally get it right then, with that chatzi life, then they'll be able to live. And if not, over. That's what it says. So here there's a dialogue between the Rashag, who's the Rebbe's brother-in-law, with the Rebbe. And he asked him like this, a neshama that came begilgal in many gufim, which guf is going to get up in Tchias HaMesim? That's the question. So the Rebbe answered that in Zohar, in many places, this is discussed. And he brings the Zohar that I just mentioned to you, which is the Zohar in Parshas Chayisara, the Zohar. And it says, the one that did mitzvahs and ma'isim toivim, that's the body that's going to get up. So that's what the Rebbe says first. Avol b'makim achar, but elsewhere, the Rebbe says, there's another Zohar, where that Zohar actually brings us a big sigh of relief. Because the other Zohar says, ahu gufa kadma deshavik ma'is avad menei, the same question. So the Zohar answers like this: Gufida, this body, afagav deloy ishtalim lisraba, it did not get completed. Ulamisku lamizga ba'alma, it wasn't productive in a holy way in the world. Pekudin achren dairaisen notar. In every body, it kept epis different mitzvahs. It's not that even if it didn't, it wasn't the way you might look at it as saying a yid shayim etayra mitzvahs was keeping everything, but epis a mitzvah the person excelled in or did something when he was alive. The law is avid menayim, that will never be lost from him. V'chila migna hava? Is that going to be for nothing? Can you look at a human life, at a soul coming down in a body, and say it was a complete waste? Can doch nishay? Can't be. There has to be that some productive epis, something he did. agra, and God does not hold back reward to shum berian debara from any creature that he has created. Kula, Hashem is going to correct them all. Veloyis avid klum, no one will get lost. Vekula yakum, and everybody will get up. So what does that mean? And so the Rebbe explains what that means. That means like this: the general concept of gilgulim, when the neshamas are recycled, is to fix what was not misakin in the previous gilgul. It's not like a neshama comes up, failed, go down again, wipe the slate clean. There's nothing there. Your whole memory is wiped out. No. In other words, the tikkun, the 613 commandments that every neshama, like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in order for a neshama to be complete, it has to do all 613 in thought, speech, and action. All 613 in thought in all three levels. So for that, but that we accumulate. It doesn't happen in one shot. So when the neshama comes down in its first time, each time it was misakin different in yanim of its neshama. And what's going to happen? That chelik of the neshama that was in which it was misakin during the time that it was in the body. So that body is going to be resurrected with that part of the neshama which it was misakin during its lifetime. In other words, the person is going to be living with a piece of a neshama. And that's going to be his neshama. So you can have really 10 people who are resurrected, sharing the same soul. Each one is, and from different eras. First days was going on from different eras. These are 10 people alive. Then we're all going to live together. You're going to have someone dressed from the Middle Ages. And they're all sharing. They're all the same person. I wonder if they're going to know each other so that they can all do an outing together and have a picnic in which they're all really the same person. But each one is a different facet of that soul. That's an interesting question. Oh, but Azoya does. That is pieces of the same neshama. Each one is resurrecting a body. So the Rashag asks, Verstehst, why do you have to say it's pieces of the neshama resurrecting different bodies? Why can't you say that one neshama is singular and it's not splintered and it's enlivening 10 bodies? Why? Because a neshama is not a davar gashmi. So why can't you have one neshama giving life, since all these bodies at different stages throughout history, these bodies all facilitated the neshama. So when we come to Tchias HaMeisim, have one neshama radiate light. It's like one power plant giving light to 10 homes. So one neshama giving light. So the Rebbe answers to him, and he says, in Chassidus it is explained that when the neshama enlivens a body, it's not doing it like a power plant that's giving power to a distance. When the neshama enlivens a body, it is fully invested in that which it's enlivening. And since it's fully invested, it can't be fully invested in two places. It's either invested here or it's invested there. So you can't have one neshama, one entity, enlivening 5 bodies. If so, what are we saying now? That the neshama is going to be the chelek ha-neshama that went in one body and the chelek ha-neshama that went in another body is enlivening, is the life force in Tchias HaMeisim. The Rebbe says that's a different story. That's a different story. Why? Because he explains the gewaldige idea. Every nefesh is included of nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. Okay, we have 5 names to our neshama. Every single one of those names, nefesh, ruach, neshama, is a different, it's an entire unit of soul. It's an entire entity, a life force. Each one of these nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida, interesting, each one of these has all 5 inside of them. In the nefesh, there is nefesh, nefesh, sheben nefesh. There is ruach, sheben nefesh. There is neshama, sheben nefesh. There is chai, sheben nefesh, and yechida, sheben nefesh. In ruach, there's also all 5 dargas. There's 5 levels, and each one has all 5. And therefore, when one person was misaking the nefesh in one lifetime, when the neshama came down in a body, and the person served God with his nefesh, what does nefesh mean? I'll give you an example to understand that. It means that this is a very practical person whose entire life, their connection to God was practical mitzvahs. They always did everything. They never had feelings, never had emotion. person never had a deep moment with God, but they always did. Those big doers, a big ton. Nefesh is what motorizes action. That means that in this lifetime, they serve the Eibishter with nefesh. Then it could be that in another lifetime, when the neshama, this person said tilim all day. And he ate into him, every time he opened his tilim, it's chayz kegas in the neshama. He cried, and he did this, and mamish. So in terms of he served God with his emotions. But he was not so involved in actual maisa ha-mitzvahs, doing mitzvahs. In a different Gilgal, the person served God with neshama. Neshama is intellect. And he was a huge Talmud Chacham all day, learned Torah. But never ever connected to the Eibishter with his heart. Never ever did my mitzvahs, did basic maybe what is to be yotze, but maybe was lacking in observance. Oh, so in this Gilgal, the nefesh. And so on and so forth. And one and yechidah means mesiras nefesh. It could be in one Gilgal, the person didn't do anything, but he died al kiddush Hashem. Yechidah sheben nefesh. You have stories with Yidden, they didn't keep anything, and someone wanted to schlep them, even couples. And I mean, people that were like the worst of the worst, and then the last moment, they died, they stood up, and they cried, I'm a Jew, whatever, and they were Moshe Nefesh, stories like that. Oh. So the Yechidah was realized then. So these units, each one of them is like an entire soul, even though it's really all part of one soul. So it's not like we're speaking about the Neshama being here, and it's giving power to 10 bodies. It's the neshama itself invested in everybody. And in order to explain this, hold on. He brings regarding, let's say, he says, to prove that the idea that you can't have one neshama enlivening two bodies without it splintering, but just like one unit of neshama enlivening two bodies, it's explained from the idea, it says by Eliyahu Hanavi, a beautiful story. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai once rebuked Eliyahu Hanavi. Hear what's going on over here? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is rebuking Eliyahu Hanavi, saying, how come you didn't come to class yesterday? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was giving a shir on Kabbalah. He was teaching the deep, in the Idra was a group, a circle, an inner circle. The Talmidim with it. And Eliyahu Hanavi used to come to the shir. He used to learn from Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. One time he didn't come. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai marked him absent. The next day he said, where were you? So Eliyahu Hanavi said that he was busy because he needed to save Reb Amnuna Saba. Reb Amnuna Saba was one of the Gosa great mystics. He was in trouble and he wanted to save him. So he couldn't be there. Okay, so he was excused. So the Rebbe asked a simple question. I totally don't understand. Eliyahu Hanavi comes to how many brisin are there across the Jewish world? He's by every bris. And we don't work it out. I'm saying, you know, in Crown Heights, I'm going to give you an example. You hear this is Geschmack. In front of 770, they make chuppas. Every little babbages want to have chuppah in front of 770. But you have to sign up because you can't have 20 chuppas at the same time. So everybody gets a slot. You have from 4 to 4:45. You have 5 o'clock to 4. Everybody gets a slot because you can't have the same, five of them on the same spot. So each one gets their time. We don't have a Bris Mila website where people reserve slots on a certain day across the world when Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come. He's going to be by me at 10:40. But make sure that we have a slot now. He's come. That means that Eliyahu Hanavi can be in 30 places at the same time. So what's the reason why Eliyahu Hanavi couldn't be? Eliyahu Hanavi by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that what? By the Seder, he comes to every Jewish home. So how is it possible that Eliyahu Hanavi, and the answer is as follows. When Eliyahu Hanavi is only shining his light everywhere, it's almost like a nitzot, it's a spark of him, that can go everywhere. He can be in 30 places, have sparks of himself everywhere. By the Seder, he's a million places at the same time. But in honor of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he didn't send the nitzutz. When he came to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's class, his entire being was enclosed in a body. He enclosed himself in a body and came to the shir. In honor of Reb Amnuna Saba to save him, he also needed to enclose himself in a body. One nefesh cannot be enclosed in two bodies. And therefore, he can't be in two times. So the Rebbe wants to say, based on what we said before, we just explained, however, that one nefesh could splinter and kind of enliven different bodies, but then when it's a different chelek of the nefesh, then each chelek can enliven a different body. Oh. So the Rebbe says an interesting thing. it's possible that Eliyahu HaNavi would have been able to come to two tzaddikim in two bodies at the same time if the content of his mission would have been different in two different places. In other words, in one place he's doing something with his nefesh, another place he's doing something with his ruach, then he could have invested himself in two bodies at the same time because it's two different missions. But since coming to the tzaddikim, it's one inyan, it's coming to visit the tzaddikim, that's one aspect of Eliyahu HaNavi. That reason, even though you would technically say, here he's coming to learn a shir, and here he's coming to save someone, so I don't understand what the Rebbe means, but in concept, if the Rebbe says it's one inyan, so therefore he couldn't come to two tzaddikim at the same time. But if we can imagine that it would have been complete different jobs, different things, he could have been in two bodies at the same time too, like it's going to be by Tchias HaMeisim when it's going to be. So the Rebbe therefore explains that when the Zohar asks a question, you hear how the Rebbe learns the Zohar, he says, when the Zohar asks the question, how can it be that two bodies are going to get up at the same time? How can one, what's going to be by Tchias HaMeisim? The main question of the Zohar was not on a case where the person lived and had different schusim in each lifetime. Then you can say, as we said earlier, in each lifetime, a different part of the neshama is now being the neshama of that body and the person can live. Fine. The question of the Zohar is, when you had a person whose content in two of his lives, two of his incarnations were exactly the same. And looks like the Zohar said it's possible something like that. That you had a replica of two lives of an individual where they did not do different things in their lives, but in both lives they lived the same content. Then the Zohar is asking which body is going to get up. That's l'chatchila the Zohar's question. Which body is going to get up? Because then you have a problem. Because that chelik of the nefesh can't splinter. It's nefesh. Okay, but this is the idea. Then the Rishag, that's the most of the discussion. Then the Rishag says, ask the Rebbe the question. If the Amunah in Tchias HaMeisim, that we have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim, means that we have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim in general, the resurrection of the dead, or the Amunah of Tchias HaMeisim means we have to believe in each person's Tchias HaMeisim. That Tchias HaMeisim for an individual. Maybe there will be Tchias HaMeisim, there will be those who will get up. But to believe that every single person will have Tchias HaMeisim is that part of our emunah in Tchias HaMeisim. The Rebbe answered, no. The inyan of Tchias HaMeisim is benegeya to every single guf of every single person. Like you see from the Zohar, asks, yeah? Okay, which guf will get up? And what's going to be with other ones? And the Zohar comes with a solution that each one will live off the mitzvahs that it did in its life. And he also brings to this, he brought also the concept of when we say, one of the reasons why the Gemara answers regards to Antoninus, who was the Kaiser of Rome, a Seta Rebbe, that the body and the neshama, each one of them, the body and the soul, each one of them, the Zohar says, are able to exempt themselves in judgment, in the day of judgment, because the body can say to Hashem, this is what the Roman emperor said. He was a real thinker. He said the soul can say, I'm your servant. I always want to do mitzvahs. It's the body who was involved in all the negative things. The body says, I'm dead. I can't move a body without the neshama. So each one will be able to blame the other one. So what does Hashem do? He brings them both together and he judges them together. And the Zohar brings a story of like the king having, the Gemara brings a story of a king having two servants, and one of them was two watchmen, and one of them was lame and he couldn't walk. The other one was blind. He says, "Uchman, a king, you know, he has these are his watchmen that he have. One is a lame guy and the other one's a blind one, and they stole from his thing. How did they do it? The blind one." The lame one told the blind one where to go, and the blind one was riding on his shoulders, and together they went and they stole. So when he came to this, they said, I couldn't. The king went and he judged them both together. He figured it out that the blind one must have been the one who was walking, and they blah, 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 and so, and that's how they went together. So the same is regards to this idea that the body needs to be rewarded also by Tchias HaMeisim, Because the neshama could not do any of the mitzvahs without the body. So you need a body. Since the Eibishter does not, and since every year does Epes HaMitzvah, so you have to say that every single Jew is going to have Tchias HaMeisim. And there the Rebbe says something like really powerful. One of the reasons why, this is such a powerful thing, one of the reasons why when we go to be Menachem Avol Chas V'Shalom after a particular death of one, any single Jew, we say Hamakim Yenachem Eschem B'Toch Shar Avei Leitzion V'Yerushalayim. We connect it to the Nechama, the consolation of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Why are we connecting the Nechama of one particular person to the Nechama of all? And the answer is a very... When it comes to a person's personal life, a person can say, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. Tchias HaMeisim, this, that. A person says, you know, my loved one will come back one day. I'm unworthy. Who says? I don't know. They weren't such a tzaddik. They weren't. They were. They lived a life. Whatever. They're dead now. How do we know that it's going to be? That it's. But one thing is for sure. Collectively, Nechamas Tzion v'Yerushalayim is going to happen one day. Because that cannot be that it won't happen. That one day, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Mashiach will come and good days will come for the world. That's for sure. And now we're saying to each individual person that your Nechama is going to become B'toich Shar Eveli Tzion v'Yerushalayim. Meaning, just like that is absolute, but the general is made up of the details. And every single detail of every single person has to have Tchias HaMeisim. So the promise and belief of Tchias HaMeisim is not a global big thing. It's also very particular and very individualized for every person. That's the main idea. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Abba is in this Tchias HaMeisim. Okay. Then the Rishag asked the Rebbe a question, and watch with those who did not fulfill mitzvahs. And the Rebbe says, Loi kayemes metzias kazu. It cannot be such a thing. Chazal say, afilu reikonim shabach. Even the empty ones amongst you, meleya mitzvahs karimain, are filled with mitzvahs like pomegranates. And he adds even more. The Gemara says, katan, a child, me'ema saibo le'olam haba. You can only come to the resurrection, to olam haba, if you did mitzvahs, by being in this world. So a katan, a baby, who died when he's a baby, when does he come? Meshoshe noilad. As long as he was born. If he was born, he's already. It says in the pasuk, yavoyu v'yagidu tzidkasai la'am noilad. In other words, the biggest merit you have, I'm thinking about this, the biggest mesiris nefesh and neshama had for the Eibishter is just being born in this world. You showed up! Remember I started the class and I said the main thing is to produce? The main thing is to show up in this world. You showed, you're going to say, well, it wasn't your choice. Bakar chachatacha. Yeah, but the neshama has to agree to come down. The fact that the neshama agreed to take on the harshness of this world and to show up, once you showed up already, like Shmuel Chaim Plotki always tells me that his uncle from Rabbi Ferris always said, 90% are showing up. The rest, you came. That's it. That's a good attitude in a Chabad house. You got people, they showed up. They came through the door. It's already there. So it's here in the world. The Gemara says, Afa pisha b'shosh anoyled, he's not shaykh to kiyum ha-mitzvahs. The etzem mitzias of a Jewish body in this world containing a neshama is already worth it for olam haba. So people have a hard time. I'm sorry, I have to blurt something out. Please be meichel me. I usually don't say this. But I have to say it now. I can't. You know, Lubavitchers are at least misupik if the Lubavitch Rebbe is going to be Moshiach. Okay? At least. Okay. I know he passed away 23 years ago. I know that. In my heart, I believe that that's the way it's going to be. Okay. But a lot. Ich zug de ganze Welt. I say to the whole world, you're so lucky if the Rebbe is going to be Mashiach. You don't want any other Mashiach. Take a look over here. You know what he did over here? He got every Jew into it. He got every... Without him, all you're left is with the Zohar, who says, nah, those bodies are going to rot away like the desert. This one, the only one who said everyone, no one there. That's the Mashiach we want. We'll stand under the Mashiach. The one who can find such goodness for every Jew and for every union. So... Let's hope that Isaiah does. We'd be better off with this Mashiach than we were any other possible candidate. So the Rebbe Shtehelfu, we should get to see that. L'chaim.